Why don't you have a seat, please? Second Samuel chapter 13. Take your Bibles, if you will. Turn your Bible to 2 Samuel chapter 13. We're going to look at just a few verses. 2 Samuel chapter 13. We're going to read verse 1 through 5. The Bible says, "And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. He said unto him, Why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day, without not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my sister Absalom's sister, my brother Absalom's sister. And Jonadab said unto him, Lay thee down on thy bed, and make thyself sick. When thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat, and dress the meat in my sight, that I may see it and eat it at her hand." Now look at verse 14 and 15. "Howbeit, he would not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her. Then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. And Amnon said unto her, Arise, be gone." If you look back at me, I want to talk to you today about this subject: a friend not worth having. A friend not worth having. Three characters in our story: Amnon, Jonadab, and Tamar. Amnon, the son of David, had a half-sister, Tamar. Jonadab, the Bible says, was a friend of Amnon, but not a good friend. Jonadab was a friend not worth having. This so-called friend, Jonadab, was with Amnon, and they had spent quite a bit of time together somehow. Amnon and Jonadab had some very intimate conversations. Amnon was lusting his sister Tamar. They'd spent enough time together that Amnon was willing to reveal his lust to his friend. When you get to the point where you're spending that much time with someone, you're spending too much time with someone. I don't know, maybe they rode home together from college on the way home over the holidays. I'm not sure. Maybe they worked at the same place, so they rode in the same car to work every day. I don't know. Maybe they worked in the same ministry together while they were in college, and they got just a little bit too close to the point where they began sharing wicked thoughts. Jonadab said to Amnon, "Well, I know you want Tamar, and I realize you want her, but there's got to be a way for you to get her." Up to that point, Amnon had not made a plan. But Amnon and Jonadab began to talk, and Jonadab said, "Well, let's do it this way. How about you play sick? Tell your dad that you're sick and that you have to stay home," and usually you get into trouble when you start changing your schedule, when you start lying. And he said, "Tell your dad that you're sick and tell him you're so sick that you need somebody to take care of you. And then why don't you suggest that Tamar be the one to stay home and take care of you? And then she'll fix you some food because you're hungry, and when she comes in your room, you grab her, and then you'll have her." I don't know how Amnon thought, but I'm sure he did think. There was some time spent between the plot and the actual occurrence. He spent some time thinking. I imagine there are some of you that are thinking right now. You're thinking. You've kind of planned the way you're going to get it done, but it's not come to fruition yet. You have not actually committed the act. Well, I hope I could detour you a little bit. More than likely, if you're thinking something you should not, there was a so-called friend involved somewhere. Maybe a friend in the past or a friend, a so-called friend in the world, or maybe the friend that's sitting right beside you right now. I don't know. But Amnon listened to the plot of Jonadab. He listened to the plot, and then he decided he would do what they had planned to do. He got up one morning, and he acted as if he were sick, and he said to his father, he said, I'm not well, and I need to stay in my bed, and I'm not even going to be well enough today to get my own food, and could you possibly see to it that Tamar stays home today and that she takes care of me? I need someone to take my temperature. I need somebody that's going to get me some food, and in case I need a glass of water, is that possible? And Amnon convinced David to leave Tamar at home and told Tamar to take care of Amnon. All the time this was happening, Jonadab knew of the plot, Amnon knew of the plot and was following the plot. They were following the plan, and the plan that ended up destroying a bunch of people. Amnon was laying on his bed. I don't know if he yelled to his sister or if he rang a bell. I don't know how he got her attention, but she came into the room. He said, I'm very hungry. He said, I'm too weak to take care of myself. Will you please fix a meal for me? And she did. He had asked everyone else to leave the house. When she brought the meal into him, Amnon grabbed a hold of his own half-sister, and he said, I want you to lay with me. I want to have sex with you, is what he said. And she said, I can't do this. You're acting like a fool. What's wrong with you? And she tried to fight him off, and he was stronger than she, and he raped his own sister. All because of a friend that was not worth having. A friend that he should have shaken a long time ago. A friend that was weighing him down. A friend that was keeping him from being what he should have been. That friend. And one of the saddest parts about the whole story is Amnon's life is turned, it's a total wreck as a result of it, but you don't hear much happening to Jonadab. A friend that's not worth having. A so-called friend. I want you to know today, there are some so-called friends in our midst right here in this college. I'll make about 9 little observations about this story. First of all, a friend can spend too much time with a friend. A friend can spend too much time with a friend. See, these friends had spent so much time together that their conversation had become sinful. Now listen, folks, none of us know enough good to talk all the time. None of us know enough good to talk all the time. You say, Brother Owens, you're very quiet. Well, I just told you why. I'm not so good, and I don't have so many good things to say that I can talk all the time. Now, every once in a while, they let me out of my cage, and I'll talk. And I'll throw a fit about good for 30 minutes, and then I go hide trying to figure out what I'm going to say next time. But you don't have so much to say that you can just sit around hour after hour after hour and talk. You're not going to get away with that. If you want to talk to somebody hour after hour after hour, you better talk to the only friend that won't pull you down. That's Jesus Christ. But you see, they had spent so much time together that the conversation had depreciated, and it had deteriorated to the point where they started talking about fantasies and wicked things. And all of you have some of those in your mind, and you better make sure they stay in there and they don't come out your mouth, and you don't start sharing them with your friends. You see, they'd spent too much time together. Maybe they spent the night together. I warn young people across America, I don't think it's a good idea for young men to be spending the night together all the time, and young ladies to be having what they call slumber parties. First of all, we have a morality problem in America the way it is, where they spend their night talking, and before long, the conversation depreciates to the point where they're saying things they never dreamed that they would say. Are you spending too much time with a friend? You know, a dorm buddy or dorm buddies can get too close together. Both boys and girls that are friends, they can spend so much time together in that dormitory room. Before long, they're saying things they should not say. Hey, you know, we're all working on ourselves. We all have some sinful habits and some things that we need to take out of our life, but we dead sure don't need to be discussing them as if they're popular and they're good things. And you better keep them concealed and work on them and let God work on you. But don't you be sharing that. Don't make that into a common denominator in your dormitory room. You know, boyfriends and girlfriends begin to spend too much time together. You plan a date. You only have the mental capacity to plan a 10-minute date, and you spend 5 hours together. And as a result of that, you used up your first 10 minutes quoting Brother Scott and Brother Young and Brother Moore, and then everything you know is gone. And before long, out of the abundance of your heart, your big fat mouth starts speaking. And all of a sudden, things start coming out. I'm going to promise you that's what happened with Jonadab and Amnon. It probably started out pretty good, but they got together too long, and they started revealing some things. And before long, hey, I've got that sin in common with you. Ha, 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 ha. It's never funny to have sin in common with somebody. Boyfriends and girlfriends can spend too much time together. And before long, you're on your second date. You're talking about how many children you're dreaming of having. Did you know something? There is a way that you have children, and this is not a good conversation to be having at that point in your relationship. It's a little subliminal, don't you think? Too much time together. Hey, are there some of you that need to change your ride to work? You don't have the guts and the courage to keep it what it ought to be, and if you don't, just don't ride with him to work. I had to when I was going to school. I had a guy that couldn't keep his mouth shut. One day criticized the college and everything. One day I told him, he said, look, I'm never going to ride in the car again with you. I won't have it. Those are my heroes, and you're not going to destroy them because you think you know more than they do. It's not going to be that way. You know, some of you may need to change soul winning partners because you just spent so much time together. Now you're not even soul winning anymore. You're talking about things that you should never be talking about. It started out you were afraid of each other and you had a spiritual admiration, but you spent so much time together and you found sin as a common denominator, and now you go to the mall. You don't go soul winning anymore. Or you go out just long enough to say that you did, and then you go hide from all the other workers that are working hard. Is that you? I said, first of all, a friend can spend too much time with a friend. You know, there's some of you, you started out and you appreciated one another spiritually, but you don't anymore. Now you can tell all the filthy jokes you want. Didn't bother you anymore because you dropped your guard. You know, I have no friends that tell me filthy jokes. I said I have no friends that tell me filthy jokes. You want to know why? They're afraid to. Is that rough on you? We say amen when we're willing to practice something, but we're not willing to practice it. We're not willing to say amen. I'm not so close to my friends. See, I've got this hunch. Some of my friends still appreciate a distance that we have. I don't plan to remove the distance. Not to the point where we'll share sin as a common denominator. A second observation is this. You know, a bad friend was available to the king's child. You see, Amnon was the king's son, and here we have a bad friend available to the king's son. Did you know that you are a child of the king? Did you know where you are? Do you understand where you are? You are at Hiles Anderson College. You are at Hiles Anderson College. I will call it the West Point of Fundamentalism if you want to. You can call it whatever you want, but I call it heaven. I can't think of any place on earth I'd rather be than right here. And if you know anything about me, I won't say that unless I mean that. I don't make decisions about statements like that quickly. I keep quiet sometimes because I've not quite decided exactly what I believe. But when I believe it, I'm going to say it. I like where I'm at. I don't want to be anywhere else. I'm glad that I'm here. I'm at Hiles Anderson College. I'm at an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist college that has the finest pastor on the face of the earth. And I'm glad that I'm here. Let me explain to you, though, even though you're at Hiles Anderson College, and you're one of the king's children, there are bad friends available at the king's house. Oh, there's, you know, I wonder if Amnon and Jonadab discussed their plot concerning the rape of Tamar at the king's house. You know, to think that you would use the dormitory room of Hiles Anderson College to plan to destroy someone or something, or to destroy your own life, your own purity. That's wicked. That's as wicked as it could be. Yeah, there are people that sit right here in this chapel, and you've talked about things that should never been talked about in this chapel. This is God's campus. Those are God's dormitories. This is God's chapel. This is God's college. Hey, it's not Brother Hiles' college. It's God's college, and God left Brother Hiles in charge of it. I'm going to tell you something. You better watch what you do. You say, well, Brother Hiles can't see everything I do, but God can. But God can. God can see. God knows what you talk about. To think that a bad friend was available to the king's child. Maybe they discussed their filthy plot at the king's table. Maybe Amnon and Jonadab sat at the king's table when Dad was gone, and they talked about all the things that they were going to do, and they plotted the course for the destruction of Tamar and many other people. Do you sit in our dining hall? Do you sit in our dining hall and plan things? Is there a boyfriend and a girlfriend in here that you've been using our dining hall to plot the course of your own destruction? You have no right to do that. This is the king's house. This is the king's college. You have no right to do that. I don't know. You know, I decided a long time ago I didn't want to say anything in private I couldn't say in public. If you didn't march up here and say it to everybody, why do you say it? You know, I think Jonadab was probably considered someone in the king's service. I mean, he's hanging around with the king's child. I mean, he was in good graces with the king, like many of you are. At least on the outside, it looks like you are. Did you know there's a bad crowd at Hiles Anderson College? I believe this, less of a bad crowd than what we've had in the past. I have very strong opinions about things. I think you're better behaved than I've seen in years. And if you weren't, I wouldn't say it. We don't have as worldly a crowd as what we had in recent years. And I'm glad. I'm glad of that. But you know what? There's still a bad crowd. You know, there's a bad crowd at Hiles Anderson College. Maybe you're associating with it. And maybe you're it. I don't know. But there is a bad crowd. I have a little policy. My kids have been in a Christian school all their life, and I consider that a great blessing. Two things that happen to my children. I have four children. Two things that have happened with my children every day of their life when they go to the Christian school. Two things. Before they get out of our car, we pray with them, and they hear this statement. Every day of their life, they've heard this statement. There is a bad crowd in the Christian school. Don't get in it. Don't get in it. And in every Christian school in America, there's a bad crowd. Don't get in it. Don't get in it. Did you know that not all upperclassmen are good examples? Just because somebody's a senior doesn't make them a hot rod. They have blown engines, let me tell you. There are some of them around here that they're not worth following. You know, you say, but they seem to be so good at what they do. They seem to be so deceptive at what they do. But don't you believe that every person that's an upperclassman is a worthy example? If they try to lead you away from what the men on this platform and the administration is teaching you to do, they are wrong. They say, well, you know, I've been in the system a long time. That ought to scare you. They've been here so long. You know, just because somebody has more seniority than you doesn't mean they have to be more spiritual than you. You know, just because somebody's been around longer than me doesn't mean that they're going to set my standard or my pace, or they're not going to determine my convictions. You make sure that you live right. You be careful. There's a bad crowd. Hey, Jonadab and Amnon were sharing all this on the king's property. You know, many of you left a bad crowd when you came to Hiles Anderson College, and you had the opportunity for a fresh start. Now, take advantage of that fresh start. But you know what some of you did? You found that same old bad crowd. Different faces, same attitude. I mean, you left it. You had the opportunity of a lifetime. And let me say this. The opportunity's not gone. You can still separate. Hey, some of you are making a decision about picking a crowd right now. Hey, pick the
crowd God would want you to be with. And usually the crowd that God wants you with isn't the great big one. You pick the crowd that God wants you to be with, and you be careful that you don't mess up like you did at home. Get with the right crowd here at Hiles Anderson College. You know, there are bad crowds in our soul winning ministries. I'll use my own as an example. That way nobody will be offended. In the Bible Club ministry, there's a group of people I'm very disappointed with. By the way, every ministry leader that has a ministry of any size, now, I'd like to say every ministry there's a bad crowd, but there are a few ministries that they're going to be very, very small, and since there's only two people in it, it makes it difficult for me to pinpoint and say there's a bad crowd there. But I'll say you this, if you're reaching a bunch of people, you're going to find a group that's not what they ought to be there. And as long as you're trying to help people, that's always going to happen. But there's a group of people that I wonder, what in the world are they doing? They like to claim my ministry as their own. That's funny that I hardly ever see them, and their behavior does not reflect the behavior that I teach. Now, you be careful. You be careful that you think the whole crowd is bad because there are a few within it that's bad. Other ministry leaders could stand up here and say, now, I don't want you to act like that guy in my ministry or that girl in my ministry. I'll tell you something. Even within your ministry, just because they're a soul winner or they're going out making some soul winning calls doesn't mean they're the crowd you should run with. There's a bad crowd even within the soul winning ministry. And so I said a friend can spend too much time with a friend. Secondly, a bad friend was available at the king's house or for the king's child. Thirdly, you know a friend who encourages you to do what you want to do is a friend that's not worth having. A friend that encourages you to do what you want to do is a friend not worth having. You know, in 1 Kings chapter 13, verse number 4, Jonadab said to Amnon, why art thou being the king's son lean from day to day? You know what he was saying? Hey, you can do what you want. You're the king's son. Do what you want, Amnon. Don't let anything stop you from doing what you want and being what you want to be and going where you want to go. I've got news for you, folks. We're not to go where we want to go. We're to go where he wants us to go. We're not to say what we want to say. We're not to be with who we want to be with. We're to be where he wants us and do what he wants us to do. But this friend said, oh, come on. Live it up. You're not a baby anymore. Do what you want to do. Your mom and dad's not here. This college has no control over you. Do what you want to do. If you've got a friend that's encouraging you to do your own thing, they're not a friend. They're not a friend. A friend should encourage a friend to do what God wants. Hey, are you closer to God because of your newfound friends? Are you closer to God because of your newfound friends? Some of you didn't even find any new ones. You just drugged the old ones here with you. Really, there are a whole bunch of you. You ought to shake some friends like a dog shakes fleas. But are you closer to God because of your newfound friend? You say, well, how do you know that? Well, you get out a thermometer and you figure out how close to the front you set now compared to how close to the front you used to set. Hey, if you go to find your friend so you can sit with them in chapel, is it a very quick trip from the back door to the seat? You say, my friend can always find plenty of seats where we sit. How about in class? In almost every class, I got a little clique of people that sit there and play and goof off, and you know what? They never sit in the front. Do you have a friend that's drawing you to the back of the class and drawing you to the back of the chapel and drawing you to the back of the church? All your dates all the way in the back of everything? Is it never up front where we can see you? Is it never, hey, get under the spout where the blessing comes out. You say, Brother Owens, not everybody can sit down front, but not everybody always has to sit in the back. I have a friend. His name is Brother Lorenz. You know where we sit? We get right down front. We fight for our front row seat. Oh, and I know you can't all sit in the front. But I just ask the question, are you closer to God as a result of your newfound friend? Whether it be a boyfriend, whether it be a comrade in the service, whatever it is, are you closer to God because of your newfound friend? I pick friends that spiritually intimidate me. I like to get around someone that I just know I better behave myself. You know, I've been around Brother Hiles now for 12 years. He scares me to death. And I don't mean he's one of the greatest men in the world to work for. He is the greatest man in the world to work for, no doubt about that. He's the finest man I've ever worked for in my life. I'm not afraid that he's going to hurt me. He's just holy. I spend time studying with him and talking with him, and I watch my words so carefully. And sometimes I don't even want him to think how bad I am. Do you have any friends that you don't want them to think how bad you are? Because they're good. You know what? You know how some of you pick your friends? You pick the ones you can control. See, if you can control them, then you can determine the spiritual atmosphere. I like turning myself over to the ones that can pull me up and make me better and turn me into something good. Pick a friend who wants what God wants for you. You know, too often we make this statement, so what do you want to do? Well, really, it doesn't matter what you want to do. Why don't we say, so what does God want us to do? If you have a little extra time, ask yourself, so what does God want us to do? What does God want us to do? You know, if you lay down with the dogs, you're going to wake up with fleas. That's just all there is to it. Hey, you play with the pig, you're going to smell like one. And it won't be long until you'll be eating from his slop bucket, and some of you, you've already got a curl in your tail. Huh? And for some of you, to have the curl in the tail is a big job. Friends. You know, a friend can spend too much time with a friend. You know, a bad friend was available to the king's child. A friend who encourages you to do what you want is a friend that's not worth having. Fourthly, a friend who would want you to hurt your family is a friend not worth having. A friend that would encourage you to hurt your family is a friend that's not worth having. Jonadab encouraged Amnon to rape his sister. How filthy, how rotten, how wicked that was. Anybody that would encourage you to hurt your family, you get away from them. You get away from them. You stay away from them. You ought to love your mom, and you ought to love your dad. You ought to love your family. And by the way, you ought to love the family right here at Hiles Anderson College, too. We're God's family. Friends don't encourage friends to hurt family members. A man by the name of John, I won't give his last name. When I lived in central Indiana, I worked in a factory with John, and John was kind of weird. John never combed his hair. Every time he came into work, his hair was always sticking straight up on top. I asked him one day, I said, John, why don't you comb your hair? He said, I don't comb my hair because it doesn't make any sense to me to comb the very hair that's going to be cut off in 2 weeks. I said, okay, thanks, John. I mean, the guy's got, you know, there's a certain amount of good logic there. I see some of you boys practice that, and so. But John, this is a true story. John, when he was a teenager, he and a buddy got together. They wanted to stay out late one night. They were given a curfew. They came in after the curfew, and they were supposed to be grounded, or John was the next day. They plotted that night to kill John's parents. In the middle of the night, they took a .22 rifle, and they filled John's parents full of holes. John got up the next morning, left his parents dead, and it was a friend, by the way. It was a friend. They got together and plotted. They left and went to band camp, was gone for about 3 days, and everybody got worried why the phone was ringing at their residence, and nobody was answering. They came to the band camp and arrested John as a friend. He went to a juvenile home for a year or so until he was of age, and he went to prison for the next 9 years. A friend. Can you imagine anybody that would stoop so low to hurt their parents? I mean, every one of you, I don't think there's any young man in here that would ever strike your mother, but if you would, you're a stinking wimp. And if you want somebody to beat on, come my way. If you're the kind of man that hits on a woman, just come see me. It's been a good long time since I've been in a fight. I've been in a few. I know you can't picture that from my personality, but I've been in a few. If you want to whip up on your family members, just come see me. You know, we're brothers in Jesus. You should never hurt your parents. You shouldn't hurt your family. Just think that this was, he called himself a friend. A friend? Huh. Girls, Your mother's dream for you has been that you go to the wedding altar pure. And you're going to let a friend hurt your mother? Well, that's not a friend. That's not a friend at all. Hey, and so often we mention the girls. Fellas, some of your parents have reared you in a way that you could be pure and virgin when you go to the altar. You call her a friend? You should never hurt your parents. Your parents have dreamed of you graduating from college. And you're going to let a friend influence you to break your parents' heart? Some of you got friends right now, and if your dad were right here and he could see the way some of you are behaving, you know what your dad would say. You say, yeah, I've heard it before. Yeah, and you're going to hear it again because we happen to care about you like your dad cares about you. Some of you need to fish or cut bait. Get away from the worm. Come on. Hey, look, you don't need to be around him. You don't need to be around her. You know who I'm talking about. You know who I'm talking about. Hey, would your mom and dad approve? You say, well, my mom and dad don't care. How about your heavenly father? Does he approve? Your parents sent you here. Some of your parents sent you here with some very strong standards and convictions. When you got here, you started looking around. You said, not everybody believes the way my mom and dad believe. Don't you change. You just keep believing those strong convictions and those strong standards. Don't you let somebody else pull you down. You keep those strong convictions. You men, I get very bothered about men that marry young ladies at our college, but they don't let the girls graduate. Now, once you get married, I know she's your wife. And you're going to make the decision, and that's okay. That's up to you. But I'm going to tell you something. I'll tell you why a lot of ladies don't get to finish college after they get married is because the man can't put her through school. He's not got what it takes. And so what happens? Her mama's dream's crushed. Her dream is crushed. Her dad's dream is crushed. You say, well, my wife's not going to work outside the home. She's going to train your children, isn't she? You say, you're just trying to get attendance at our college. I don't think so. I'm trying to tell you the truth. Put her through school. Let her finish school. And what can she do but submit to you? And she's busy submitting while you're breaking her parents' heart and her heart because she wanted to go to school and finish school. Don't hurt your parents. A friend does not hurt a friend. And a friend does not encourage a friend to quit. It's just a lack of character. Number five, a friend who would encourage you to lie is not a friend worth having. 2 Samuel 13:5, we see here that Jonadab tells Amnon, I want you to lie. I mean, he tells him, he says, I want you to lie to your dad. Lie to your half-sister. Hey, lie on the activity report. Hey, we won't go to church together, but we'll tell him we did. We won't go soul winning together. I wonder how many of you, because of a friend, you've already lied on some report. Because of a friend. You would have gone soul winning. You would have gone to church. You wouldn't have broken that rule. But you were with a friend, so-called. Hey, you have a Jonadab right beside you, don't you? You've got a Jonadab for a friend. That friend is causing you to lie and to hurt your parents. Friends don't lie for friends. You know, lying for a friend is not doing a favor. It's being a fiend. You're not a friend to somebody because you lie for them. So a friend who would encourage a friend to lie, that's not a friend. A friend who would want you to bring shame to yourself is not worth having either. I'll read to you 1 Samuel 13, verse number 13. The Bible says this. It says, and I, whether shall I cause my shame to go? And for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Tamar said, you're acting like a fool, Amnon. He was getting ready to rape her. He had grabbed her and he said, you're acting like a fool. A fool?
A fool.
You know, a friend that would want you to cause yourself shame is a friend that's not worth having. You know, having a foolish friend is going to cause you to act foolishly. Some of you have friends that are convincing you to do things that you never dreamed you would do. You never dreamed for a moment that you would do it, but you're doing it. You know, hold your ground against those kind of friends. Don't let them turn you into a fool. Let me tell you something. We had somebody here that was in a leadership capacity. What they did, they pulled a whole bunch of people to them and got them acting foolishly. I'll promise you, all the people that were expelled as a result of it looked at that one and said, he played me for the fool. Yes, he did. And don't you ever let a friend play you for the fool. Some walk away free, others get punished. It's too bad, isn't it? Don't you, hey, if somebody's causing you to act the way you never dreamed you'd act, you may have a Jonadab on your hands. You better get away. Hey, number seven, a friend who would want you to be immoral is not a friend. You know that Amnon and Jonadab planned the rape of Amnon's sister? Jonadab encouraged the immorality. Hey, a boy who's trying to take liberties with you girls, that's not a friend. That's not a true friend. And if you're letting him, she's not a friend to you either, buddy. So that's not a friend. Hey, you better, you got all of you, every man in here, you watch any filthy comments about the girls. That's not friendship. You don't cross each other to lust like that and be a friend. You're a Jonadab. You sharing filthy pictures. Did you drag something back from home after Thanksgiving? You got something with you you shouldn't have? Well, don't you show that to your friends. You get rid of it. You turn it in. You stay away from that. By the way, girls, make sure that you're careful that you dress modestly. Make sure you dress modestly. Don't you entice men. Hey, that's not being a friend to the world. No, you dress modestly. That's one reason why it's been a while since I've said it. I don't like slits and skirts. They just bother me. It's what I call the peekaboo syndrome. Hey, if you know of friends that are doing wrong, hey, if you know of friends that are dating and sneaking off campus, come tell us if you're a real friend. Let us know if you're a real friend. A friend doesn't cover for a friend so they can be immoral. A friend doesn't watch for another friend so that they can get up close in the hallway or in the ministry. Friends don't cover for friends that way. Not real friends. You're a Jonadab. You're a Jonadab. You know what? An experienced bad friend will go free while you suffer the consequences of their influence. You know what happened? 2 years after the occurrence, Amnon is put to death. Guess who was there to report it? Jonadab. Went running to David saying, guess what? Your son's dead. Too bad. Some of you, you've got some experienced Jonadabs around you. They can get in and out of trouble without getting caught. And you're caught with a bag. They trained you how, but they never trained you to be slick enough to stay out of trouble and get caught for it. And so now you're getting in trouble, and you watch your friends are going free. And you're even toiling with, do I tell on them or do I not? Yeah, tell on them. Go ahead. They deserve it anyway. You see, a bad friend, and that's what happened. Jonadab basically went free, and Amnon got punished. You know, bad friendships will bring bad results. Amnon lied to his dad. He lied to Tamar. He stole Tamar's purity. He raped Tamar. He broke his parents' heart. He lost a chance to spiritually influence Jonadab. Amnon got killed by Absalom later on. And this incident tore Amnon up later on. Matter of fact, at the very end, in verse number 15, he said, I hate what I have done. In other words, he hated the consequences of his sin more than he enjoyed the few moments of pleasure. You're going to hate it when you get kicked out of school for being a fool because you had a foolish friend that influenced you just a little bit at a time. You know, I don't get involved much in what we would consider the national scene. I'm not smart enough for all that. I just mind my own business and preach and go soul winning and things like that. You know, who is whose friend in America and who's mad at who in America. You know, everybody's wondering, well, I wonder which guy, you know, which side Brother Hiles is on. You know, everybody that wonders which side Brother Hiles is on is a fool. They ought to be making sure they're just on the right side, which just happens to be Brother Hiles' side. You know, you say, Brother Owens, how in the world do you pick your friends? Well, I'm not smart enough to really pick my friends. I'm not real good at it. So I just borrow Brother Hiles' friend list. I'm just not smart enough. So I borrow his friend list. It works out just fine for me. You know, a young man, he was 17 years old. The first time I heard him preach, he could quote the whole book of Romans. I heard him preach it. Heard him preach the book of Romans. Phenomenal young man. People couldn't convince him to go to college. He knew the Bible very, very well. I said to him one day, he ran with a loose group of people in the church, and even some of the people he ran with that were preachers. I said, Doc, you ought to watch your crowd. He said, mind your own business. Okay, I mind my own business. No problem with me. You know, when he was 20, he went into full-time evangelism. Boy, he could preach. He was a hot preacher. Brought conviction. People walked the aisle. He's been writing me now for years from Pendleton, the state prison. I get a letter from him once a month. I got a letter from him not long ago, and it said, I don't belong in here with these guys. I wrote him back. I said, you belong in there with those guys as much as you belong with the guys that helped you get put in there. He said, Brother Owens, you really think that I could end up in prison because of the crowd I'm running with? I don't know, but let me tell you this. If you do, write me.